2 weeks ago today, a force of nature so powerful and so terrifying that it was able to tear the fabric of our lives moved into this town and into our spaces. And for several hours did its destructive work. Hurricane Odile. Some say category 3, some say category 4. I say 4 because it was horrendous and huge. And noted to be the most powerful hurricane ever recorded on this peninsula. And we here experienced its force. It came in the middle of the night. We had some warning, not very much, because until the last hour or two, we were still hoping it would head out to sea and spare us the full brunt of its power. But it didn't. It made a direct hit on this place, this village where we live. And so in the middle of the night, holding our loved ones near and our animals near us, we huddled in our houses, finding what we thought were the safest places to be. Some people in closets, some people in the bathroom, in the baño. It was pitch dark. And when the forces of the winds and the rain came, the sound was horrendous. It was like a freight train came into town. We couldn't see what was happening outside, but could easily imagine that it was a lot of devastation. As the tiles tore off the roof of our house, the explosions were so loud. I thought the entire roof was going to be very, at any moment, ripped off. The palapa roof was vibrating and jumping up and down, and the skylight disappeared. And so you all know what I'm speaking of. It happened in the middle of the night, in the darkness. We didn't really know what was occurring outside. But what was really obvious was how important it was to be with those we love, to hold them close, and to be thinking of loved ones who were not here, because the possibility of death and grave injury was very real, inescapable. And so we huddled together for hours that night. And when the brunt of the storm had passed and the daylight came, we ventured out to see what had happened. Our expressions dazed, our eyes hardly able to believe what we saw, the destruction, the debris, the devastation in the town, in our own homes and gardens. It was hard to comprehend. Could this really be real? Could this have happened? One man that I spoke to that first morning as we wandered around the village just trying to comprehend the destruction that had come upon us, a world traveler, a man of great courage, said to me, "Robert, last night I was more afraid than I'd ever been in my life before." And it was that way for many of us. We were afraid. And now 2 weeks have gone by. The government services have stepped up and have been responding with quite an amazing efficiency. But what we saw was the power grid was totally destroyed, telephone poles all over the place, wires hanging everywhere, roads blocked, gigantic hundreds of year old trees ripped up by the roots lying in the street. Neighbors' houses whose roofs were missing. In fact, the municipal building, the CFE building, the entire roof was gone. And so many of the shopkeepers in the downtown area totally lost their tiendas. Some places just disappeared. Carla's, a favorite place for breakfast down near the park, was just simply not there anymore. The park was a disaster zone. It looked like a war zone. Huge trees toppled. Branches whipped clean of leaves. The debris, the chaos was everywhere. And now in these 2 weeks, the cleanup, the recovery has well begun. Many, many people have been working to clear the roads of tree limbs, garbage. A lot of work has been done. And we've been able to see what we couldn't tell that night in the darkness. We've been able to see what was happening. The damage to houses, the destruction of trees, the electrical system, and of course the water system with it. But there's another aspect that has been put upon us as a result of the devastation of this great storm that I think we need to look at also. And that is the devastation that has occurred inwardly in our inner lives, in our mental, emotional, and relational lives. You know, we humans tend to be in great denial, more or less degree, most of the time, about certain facts in regard to the reality of our life here on earth. We tend to be in denial of the amount of suffering, the amount of suffering experienced all over the world, and even in our own small lives, and in this beautiful village. We tend very much to be in denial of the fact that we live in a world that's characterized by impermanence. Nothing lasts here. Everything is in the process of disappearing. Everything we hold dear, every love relationship we cling to, we are destined to lose. It's all impermanent. That fact is so horrendously difficult to comprehend. by our ego selves, that we simply go about our lives living within our world of concepts and within the world of stories that we tell ourselves about who we are and what's happening. We live in our stories. We live in a, you can say, a pretend world, rather than day by day consciously allow awareness of impermanence and suffering. And then the third characteristic of this world is that there is no such thing as a separate, self-sustaining individual self. There is no such thing. We live in a world of interdependence, dependent origination. And the denial that we live in is really one of believing in separation. We believe in the separation of one of us from the other, each of us from ourselves and others. Well, 2 weeks ago, in the middle of the night, in that darkness, as we're huddled in our places, one wall of our house is made of stone, big stones. It's a huge stone wall. We were huddled against that wall thinking it was the safe place, but the force of the winds drove the rains through the wall. Water poured in through that stone wall. It poured in actually everywhere, through every nook and cranny, and directly through the cement walls of our home. Not just down through the roof or through the windows. Many people lost windows. But the water came in from all directions, everywhere, and by the morning our house was flooded with 3 inches of water everywhere. Everywhere. While we were huddled in the darkness, and that was all occurring, the explosions, the horrendous noise that came with the gusts of winds, 160 mile per hour winds, sounds that I had never heard before. Terrifying sounds. We felt helpless. We felt very, very small. And we felt afraid because the possibility of grave injury and death was quite real. And in those hours of being alone, hopefully with another loved one, but even alone, in those hours, something was torn from us. It wasn't only the wind and the rain that tore the fabric of lives, but the denial of the facts of reality, of life, disappeared during that time. We were very aware of suffering because suffering was everywhere in that darkness. We were very aware of impermanence because we knew that what we held dear was being perhaps destroyed all around us. Not only our homes, but the gardens, the animals that we live with. We were very aware of impermanence, consciously or not. And if the idea of death was present, which for most of us, I'm sure it was, There was no denial at that moment. And we also became very aware of our interdependency, our interconnectedness, because it was quite obvious that what was happening in the middle of the night was not just to us, but it was happening to everyone in the path of this horrendous storm. Everyone in this village, everyone in the peninsula that suffered the direct hit from Hurricane Odile was receiving the effects of such devastation. Everybody, some people more protected than others, but there was no escaping from our interdependency. We huddled together and we thought of those closest to us, and we clung to them in that short time. So, the denial, the reluctance to deal with reality at that level that we all participate in the, as the result of our egoic separate beliefs in how we are, our ignorance of our true nature. Denial was swept away for those of us who experienced this storm very quickly, whether we were conscious of it or not. And that change briefly tore the fabric of our psychological, emotional, mental lives. For a period of time, we lived in a very stark reality, and it was undeniably real. We took a big bite of reality. I have a friend who says, when you have a really big bite of reality, you begin to think that you don't have enough saliva to swallow it. And it was like that for us. We were in shock, emotional, mental, physical shock, and we emerged from our hiding places the next morning and looked around, dazed expressions, still in shock. What happened in that storm to all of us has evolved in varying degree, depending upon the individual psyches, has evolved into post-traumatic stress disorder. It happens every time someone experiences a catastrophic change of violence, the loss of control, the impossibility of being able to stop or change what's happening. We are confronted in those times with so much reality we can hardly bear it. And so our minds begin to try to compensate for that horror. And post-traumatic stress, you begin to notice that your mind is very maybe agitated, tends to obsess on minutiae, thinking about unimportant things over and over and over again, haunted by some feeling in the mind that something needs to be done, I need to do something, but not knowing what it is that needs to be done. A feeling of insignificance, a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. Mind racing, sleep comes not easily. Dreams are very often vividly, destructively violent, a kind of attempt to relive the horror of the experience. The ego's way of trying to deal with it is to experience it in imagination over and over and over and over again. So we sit and we remember the experience, as though the more we remember it or try to grasp it, somehow we'll conquer it, somehow we'll be healed from that terrible tearing of the fabric of our lives. Post-traumatic stress, emotions are labeled, very labeled, jumping from one moment to terrible sadness to kind of a hysterical joy, and then the next moment, a horrible anger, resentment, a need to do something about what has happened, the helplessness of not being able to do anything, the helplessness of not knowing really what's going on, produces an emotional state that's very difficult to deal with. And we tend to deal with them alone. We people generally don't talk about these inner states among each other. And so the post-traumatic stress gets worse the more we try to compartmentalize it internally and make up our stories about what's happening. It gets worse. The emotions are more and more difficult. The feeling of being secretive and deceptive increases. We're not really being real. We're coping. And what created it was those moments when our the lenses of illusion were stripped away from our eyes and we huddled in the darkness, experiencing reality, suffering, impermanence, and the fact that we must need each other. We must acknowledge our interconnectedness. And in that acknowledging comes the possibility of more and more healing. Not being quiet about the inner state, not acknowledging it. Some people are even ashamed of their emotions and the weirdness of the thoughts that go through the mind. Strange thoughts relating to nothing, having no reasonable sequence whatsoever, seemingly out of control. We tend to be afraid to acknowledge that. Maybe people will think we're impaired in some way, or really sick in some way, so we keep all of this secret. It's well known in healing circles that post-traumatic stress must be addressed with talking about it, with acknowledging it, by sharing the experiences. And it becomes obvious as the experience goes on, as it has now for 2 weeks, that the healing is love. There is nothing that heals our damaged psyches like love. The allowing of the feeling of love, the acknowledging of it, of saying to each other, I love you. Holding the pets, the animals close, I love you. I love this town. I love everyone who's surviving here. I love everyone whose homes are destroyed, and these who are going about the seemingly impossible task of starting over again. I love all of us. who have survived the situation. That love was present during the darkest time when the fabric of our lives was ripped by this big bite of reality that came in the form of a natural disaster. Now, human suffering, a very small percentage of it is caused by natural disasters. Earthquake, hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, tsunamis, very small percentage of human suffering caused by that. The greatest percentage of human suffering is self-imposed. It comes from our reluctance to realize our true nature. It comes from our refusal to look clearly, open-heartedly, and open-mindedly at the truth of the reality of our situation. There is suffering here. The Buddha said, life is suffering. We live in impermanence in which at any given moment, everything can be turned upside down. Any moment, and everything can change through loss, death, injury, accident. And we live in denial of our interdependency, of our dependent origination. We believe in our conceptual unreality, and living in our separate stories, we believe that we are all separate from each other, and it isn't true. And that night, 2 weeks ago, in the darkness of the storm, when our homes were being flooded and torn apart, that denial and that truth was changed for a period of time. So I think we must look closely at our inner lives and realize we are experiencing the effect of a horrendous alteration in our concepts and our ideas of how our lives are. It happened because of Odile, the storm that came out of nowhere and disappeared, but changed our lives forever, actually, irrevocably. Reminding us one more time of the importance of love. Love is what holds it all together. Love is what makes it all possible to survive. Love makes it possible for us to open to the reality that we barely have the saliva to swallow. Love makes it possible. It helps to refrain from stealing, looting that goes on after catastrophic disasters is a horror and subhuman. Subhuman. It helps to refrain from stealing. It helps to refrain from harming anyone or anything. It helps a lot to develop a meditation practice where there are times when one can sit down together and privately and find that inner core of peace and happiness that lives within each of us in spite of the horror of the reality that we live in. It's alive in each of us. That inner self, that original nature. Meditation practice brings that awareness to us in greater expanding waves the more we practice. And then, last of all, but not least certainly, the healing will come from the practice of generosity. Generosity. The Buddha considered generosity to be the most important of the pillars of the Dharma, the most important practice of all. Doesn't matter if you meditate or if you live a really good moral life, generosity. Giving of oneself, giving of one's energies and attention to each other, giving of material wealth, goods to each other. Donating here to the funds that the Palapa Society has organized, a fund for the rebuilding of homes and lives. Generosity, love, awareness. And with this awareness, consideration that you also are experiencing post-traumatic stress in some degree. It's a good idea just to look and acknowledging it. So thank you for coming this morning, coming together to help each other heal, rebuild, and strengthen the bonds that hold us together in this beautiful village that has been gravely injured but will be rebuilt. Thank you very much.